Hello, my name is Andreas Lind, and I'm a security analyst at iSecure in Sweden. And in this HelpNet security podcast, I will be talking about software vulnerabilities, exploitation of them, and the defense model we're currently using to protect against them, and how we could improve that. Most companies or organizations have a defense model, like a security architecture, that are meant to protect them from threats and attacks. And that model was made a very long time ago, and almost everyone is using pretty much the same components in their model. So it's very much perimeter focused, like network security, firewalls, proxies, IPS. And the evolution of this has been that we've been adding more tools. So now we got all the legacy stuff, but we got the CM and DLP. And sometime during this time, client-side attacks has become more prominent, and it's actually statistically the largest attack vector. And if we look at the security model that most people are using, we look at which components can actually protect us from attacks on client-side software. We pretty much end up with next-generation firewall, IPS, and antivirus or endpoint protection, or very much network security focused. Problem with this is that penetration testers at least claim to be able to bypass network security controls pretty easily, and antivirus too. And people are mobile now, so once they actually take their laptop and leave the corporate network, the network security controls go out the window. Neither of these controls are actually very good at catching zero-day attacks. Since we're very mobile now, that actually leaves us with only antivirus as protection in a lot of cases. So, and this isn't a very good thing. I have no problem with antivirus, but we shouldn't be relying solely on antivirus. And if you remember the New York Times hack, there was allegedly a Chinese group called the Comment Crew, or the APT-1, who spent about 4 months in the New York Times network. When this became public knowledge, a lot of people in the security industry started pointing the finger at Symantec, who was the antivirus vendor for the New York Times, saying that why couldn't you detect this? The question should have been to the New York Times, why weren't you doing anything else than using antivirus? Because antivirus alone is not enough. When it comes to patching vulnerabilities, that's not really enough either, because patching takes time, and in an enterprise environment, it can take a really long time. And even if you patch fast, you're actually patching quite slow because it's still going to take a couple of weeks at least. And sometimes you can't even patch because you might have systems that break when you roll out an update in a software. This typically happens to Java updates all the time. 0 days, you can't patch 0 days. And but is anybody really exploiting 0 days? Well, there are actually some indications that exploitation of 0 day vulnerabilities is fairly common. Like, for example, there's a Microsoft report out called Software Vulnerability Exploitation Trends, which looks at how Microsoft software are being exploited. And in that report, it says that 46% of remote code execution vulnerabilities in Microsoft software was actually exploited before a patch was available during 2012. And that's a lot. That's almost half. That's like 15 remote code execution vulnerabilities. So I feel that what we need to do as an industry is get our priorities straight. We need to decide and help our customers decide what to protect and what to protect against. Because how many companies, organizations actually battle APTs on a regular basis? Maybe not that many, but how many are battling mass malware attacks? Well, everyone, and everyone is losing. So maybe we should, you know, try to handle that first, because if you've got Conficker running wild in your network, maybe it's not the APTs you need to worry about. The way I feel that we should do this is that we should get back to basics. We should, you know, start working with our environments instead of buying tools to fix everything. And we should actually start using the tools that we already have, because we have pretty good tools. I mean, our IPS is actually good. It's not just expensive. It can do a lot of good things if we use it in the right way. Another thing that we should be doing is hardening. And hardening is something that we've done for a long time, but on a very high level, like disabling the administrator account or enabling the Windows firewall. But I think that we should do it for the software. The software that we need to protect needs to be hardened to be able to defeat exploits of vulnerabilities. And there's something called the Exploit Intelligence Project that's being run by a guy called Dan Guido of Trail of Bits. And he has actually done research on this that shows that for a lot of the attacks that exploit kits use, those exploits can be defeated by doing things like enabling ASLR and DEP and setting the software restriction policy and actually doing these security configurations in software. And his research also shows which software that has vulnerabilities are actually being exploited to any degree. So, because for example, Google Chrome has had a lot of vulnerabilities, but not a lot of attacks on it, not to a large scale. So maybe Google Chrome shouldn't be our priority. We shouldn't really stop there. We should go on and do hardening on our entire environment stack. So like on a system level and on a network level and people and processes, because all those things can make us more exposed depending on how we use them and how we configure everything. But if we start doing all these things, then the bad guys are gonna have to catch up. They're gonna have to, you know, start writing more advanced exploits or getting a hold of more advanced exploits at least. And that's the reason that we need to also have threat intel, because we need to know when things are changing. We need to know when people are starting, you know, attacking software where we couldn't see any attacks before. We always need to keep a lookout on what's happening in the outside world, something that we haven't been very good in the outside world.